Malachi chapter 2, verse 10 of Malachi chapter 2. He said, "Do we not all have one Father? Has not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously each against his brother so as to profane the covenant of our fathers?" Now, my emphasis begins from verse 13. He said, "This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason?" He said, "Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant." He said, "But not one has done so who has the remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offering? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth." Our main discussion is going to be taken from verse 13, where God began to speak about the fact that they cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering, their offerings, or accept it with favor from their hands. And God asked them, they wanted to know what was that reason. And God said it's because of the kind of relationship that you have been having with the wife of your youth. Now, my main topic today will be titled, "The Wife of Your Youth." Let us bow down our heads to pray. Father, we give you thanks because of the gathering of us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. Now, you know that I titled this, our discussion, "Christ and the Church, the Foundation of Marriage for the Young Believer or the Young Christian." All right. Because you see, let me explain this. This is a principle. There are things that are inside your heart. Actually, where I should start from, before we now get back to the Malachi that we read, should be from the book of Galatians. That would be very good, actually. All right? Paul said that he that sows to the flesh, there's something I want to bring up from there. Galatians chapter 6. Now, this is what I want to... let me read this, and then you will see something there. It said, "Be not deceived," verse 7. "God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." He said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." Now, why I read this one, what I want to bring up from here is this, is something, if you have listened to me talk again, whether on radio or physically, that while we've been present, where I've been preaching, there's something you'll have heard me say again and again, and I'm not tired of saying it yet until everybody gets to understand it. And that is the fact that what you will get in life, it will be a reward for sowing the right seeds. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, what will come to you in life will not be a product of the struggle you put into life. It will not be because you desired something in life primarily, but rather that you put something into life. I don't know whether you are following my point. That thing will now come back to you as harvest. And that harvest is actually what you are looking for in life. A lot of times when people begin to struggle for things in life, you are looking for prosperity. You are looking for a happy marriage. You are looking to have your life successful. What you are doing, what most people do, is that they start running towards that thing itself. For example, you want a very good wife. So when it is time to marry, you start looking, they give you criteria, 26 criteria you must check out to be sure that the girl is good. Or if you are a woman, they tell you there are about 15 points you must check in the life of every man. You may even have to investigate what his great-grandfather used to do as a profession, and what his grandfather inherited from his great-grandfather, and what his father was doing. All those things are meant to let you know whether there is a curse upon the family, to let you know whether the man is likely to prosper. You start running out for the success that you are looking for. Are you getting my point? When in actual fact, what you are doing is that you are looking to reap where you may not have sown. Do you understand my point? That the thing you are looking for actually is she will have come to you as a reward for the proper seeds that you sowed. That's why in Galatians chapter 6 here, Paul was explaining that don't be deceived. God is not mocked. That if you are doing that, you will find out that you are trying to make a mockery of God. Are you getting my point? And if you think you can succeed in making a mockery of God, actually, you have been deceived. I hope what I'm saying is making sense here. That is, when we're looking for things in life, actually what God is saying is that at the season, you know, God said, he said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. There's seed time, there is harvest season. What that means is that a man, God gives you a period and an opportunity in life to sow your seeds. Harvest time, you can only go and reap that which you have sown. I hope you are following my point. It is important. Now, a lot of things that we learn in life are actually principles of harvest. That is, when God wants to bless you, he said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. Which tells you that sometimes when God is ready to bless people, because of circumstances around, they refuse to stretch forth their hands to receive the blessing of God. Are you getting my point? But our message is essentially, most times, concentrate on people stretching forth their hands to receive the blessing of God. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, you tell a young man, 15 steps to getting a great job, dress very well, have a very, very nice look on your face, smile, be confident, raise your shoulders, stick out your chest. Now, listen to me. If God has not ordained that guy for a successful job, he can stick out his chest till he starts looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nobody will offer him anything. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. Now, so that's the mistake we make sometimes in life. All these steps that we are going towards, actually trying to get a good wife or a good husband, most of the time they are steps of harvest. That is, if God has prepared for you a good wife, a good husband as a fruit for the correct seeds that you sowed, do you follow my point? Then you will need certain steps, peradventure, you know, it's possible that you wish to locate her. And those steps tend to vary from one man to the other. That's why I'm not an advocate of very, very defined steps. Do you follow my point? My good example is Joseph. Which step did Joseph take to get a good wife? None. A good wife was conferred upon him by commandment of Pharaoh. There was no discussion about it. When they gave him a job, Pharaoh looked and said, this guy, I don't want him to be single. All right, who's the finest girl around? This man, I saw your daughter last time. Don't deny it. Go and bring her. Joseph, that shall be your wife from today. Yes, sir. And the man did well, lived to a ripe old age. Listen, if that woman was a terrible woman, he would not have lived that long. You get what I'm trying to say? He didn't take any serious steps. Now, I'm explaining something here. So you see that it's when you have the right seeds into the soil, all right? That is when you get a good harvest that you are desiring. Now, I did a series on radio then, Building a Great Future Today. And if you did not listen to it, that series, I will recommend seriously that you try and get yourself, avail yourself of the opportunity of the recorded version and listen to it. Now, when I was explaining that, I mentioned it made a number of points. One of them I want to highlight at this point in time. I explained that there are different seeds you can sow. Now, the one I want to discuss in this season of this seminar, this is our Power for Life seminar, is that one of faith. Let me explain what I mean. The most important seed, actually, that you can sow in life is actually sowed into your heart. That is, what is planted in your heart will bring forth results in your life. There's an example I give once in a while. It's not a very good example. Actually, I feel bad every time I have to give this example. Do you understand? But it's just such a good example. Once I heard that somewhere in this world, I don't know where exactly, I know where it is, I just want to tell you where. All right? A man of God divorced his wife suddenly one afternoon and went announced to everybody that cared to know all over the world that his wife and him, they have found out that they have irreconcilable differences. You know the way Americans use that word. Now, this man said that he had to divorce his wife. And the moment I heard that announcement, what came to my heart was that a man who I knew that was involved in their ministry had said at a point in time that one of the reasons why he left them, now I heard this at least 10 years before this divorce case happened, was that the man said and taught to his ministers that there was nothing wrong with divorce if two people find that their differences are irreconcilable. Now let me say something, that's one of the things I'm trying to do by this Power for Life seminars. It is important, absolutely imperative, that you drop all your crazy ideas and imbibe God's ideas if you want to succeed in life. That's why I read from Galatians chapter 6 here. It says, he that sows to his own flesh. That's what my Bible says. I use the New American Standard. It said, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from that his flesh reap corruption. That he's going to have a problem in life. Do you get my point? You know, I was having a discussion. We had a meeting a few days ago. And my wife was there. There were a number of people there. Quite a number of people. Actually married people. And one brother was speaking, and I, at the point in time, I raised my voice and shouted out at him. Because we were sharing the word, he began to say, okay, now let us assume that. I said, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to learn the fear of God, or you just want to expound your own ideas? He said, you know, Americans, I said, do you want to build an American family of which the surety that you'll be divorced in a few years is 50%? We made some points. He said, look, there's a difference between a leader and a ruler. I said, the Bible never said a man should lead his home. He said a man should rule his house. He said, let's check the Greek word. I said, you see, you want to check the Greek word to twist the plain truth. There's a reason why I'm saying this with so much passion. This is the problem with life. He that sows to the flesh, the Bible says from his flesh he will reap corruption. The first seed that is in your heart that you must eradicate is the one of your own ideas that are not God's ideas. I'm laying a foundation for everything we're going to discuss this season. I told you that today's message is titled Wife of Thy Youth. I've not gotten there yet. I'm still laying a foundation. I'm explaining something here that the most important thing that decides what comes upon you in life is the faith that is inside your heart. That is the words that have been sown inside your heart that you have believed. If somebody says something and you don't believe it, it's not been sown in your heart. Do you get my point? It has not been sown in your heart. You know, it's the one that dropped and the birds of the air picked it up because you did not receive it with understanding. Are you getting my point? My best example in Nigeria of today is this America, Britain, Australia kind of issue. I said, listen, every time God wants to prosper people, there's always the distraction. In Nigeria, political distraction is what Satan is using to take people away from the economic prosperity that God is pouring upon them. I went somewhere today. Actually, I went to draw a check that somebody gave to the ministry, all right, from Oceanic Bank. And I got there, they said, oh, vintage fund. I picked the form. I said, I'm going to put my money in vintage form. Why? I said, because the Bible says that he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. Are you getting my point? They said that restore our captivity, O God, in Psalm 126. God said, this is how I restore your captivity. You must put your resources into the land in which you said I should restore your captivity. I don't care whether, Petroleum Development Trust Fund, right? All right, they said, EFCC said Atiku was guilty. And the court just declared yesterday that no. That inquiry is wrong. I saw one headline today in the papers. It said, Atiku now free. Now listen, all those things are distractions. You will be reading that. You will not realize that Oceanic Bank is doing something. You won't know that Zenith Bank is doing. You will not realize that they are selling land in somewhere close by and you can afford it. You won't know that the banks are offering you money to build on that land. All right? Are you getting my point? You will not realize that, employment opportunities are opening every day. Why? Because they distracted you with the quarrel between Obasanjo and Atiku. Thinking that, you know, they made you think that an indicator of what your future will be. That is what Satan tries to do. He tries to lie to people. Are you getting my point? Now, if you believe those words, that's why you will not prosper there. They will make you a slave in America. You will gladly go there. Do you get my point? Let me tell you what Satan does. He lies to people and baits them away from the security of their father's house. Do you follow? You follow what I say? That what he did to the prodigal son? He said, look, man, oh boy, no babes inside your father's house. The babes, they're out there. And I said, wow. Because the Bible says he spent all his money on riotous living. And his brother said it to his father. This boy has come back having squandered your money on harlots. But what Satan did not tell him was that, you know, it's always okay when there's no wahala. That in the time of adversity, that's when I will strangle you. But good enough, he was wise enough to realize that I'm about to be strangled. So he got up and ran back home. Why? Because somebody lied to him. And the things that he believed produced a wrong result in his life. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Most important are the things that you believe. I am talking about Christ and the church. You know, I chose that topic for a number of reasons. One of which is to let you understand, like somebody was saying yesterday that Pastor Banky is talking on a relationships. I said, no, you are misrepresenting me. Banky does not talk on relationships, and I do not plan to start now. All right? Whether the girl, whether she carries her eye to the left corner or put it to the right, what does that have to say about how she feels about you? I don't know. You want to know how a woman feels about you, ask her directly. There's no indicator about that. Do you understand? There's none. There's no that one. If a woman, look, let me chip something. Guys, listen, if a woman says no, no is no. Don't say she's changed her mind. She's not planning to change it. And for adventure, she says no, believe her. If she meant yes, let her come and convert it to yes. Do you get what I say? Don't read meanings into things that have not been said. Take it the way they said it. Are you getting my point? And ladies, hear this also. If the guy is buying you gifts, buying you this, don't believe he means anything by it. I have known too many men who meant nothing. And they will say, I was just being nice. If he buys too many gifts, one day reject the first one. You say, well, you go corona, your problem. That's why you are grabbing. You know, let no good thing pass me by. Don't use that principle if you want to go far in life. Oh. There are certain good things that should pass you by and go to the correct owner. And peradventure, there is no owner. You return to sender. Like Father Mbaka will say, do you get what I say? Just simply return to sender. Yeah, there's no one out there. Anyway, that's just by the way. I told you, I'm just trying to use that. I don't plan to sit down on relationships. I am talking about what? This foundation for marriage. The foundation is the correct word of God in your heart. I read from that Galatians chapter 6. Again, let me explain it further. When you believe the right things, and that causes you to do the right things, and you have the right outlook, a right perspective to life. Listen to this. Good wives come automatically. Good husbands find their way to the woman of God's appointment. It's not by begging. Do you get my point? There are no sure 16 steps to find the right husband. If you use 16 steps to find the right husband, you only discover that it's not your husband. You don't get my message. You see that the 16th step will show you who the good husband is. But is he your own? No. There is no step of telling you which one is what. It's just. There is only one step of knowing which husband is really your own. Shall I tell you? Yes. One day, somebody will look at the two of you and say, by the authority conferred upon me, I pronounce you man and wife. Until that happens, he's not your husband. You are getting what I'm trying to say. A young man came to me once. He said, Pastor, did God speak to you about your wife? I said, he did. He said, what did he say? I said, the officiating minister said, I pronounce you man and wife. That was the voice of God. The man prophesied rightly. Being the high priest, the Bible said he prophesied. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Now, let's get this concept right. See, once you have the right thought patterns in your heart, Isaiah chapter 55, God said that my ways are higher than your ways. That is, I do things in a superior fashion. These are the ways of men. Men struggle. Men strive. They try hard to get results. He said, what is the way of God? I give them the right thought patterns. I give them the right ideas. He said, when my words come down and men receive it, the word never returns until it accomplishes. Do you get my point? If you have the right principles about marriage, you will find the right husband. You will find the right wife. Do you get my point? Now, there's a man I respect a lot, and let me try and color the story so that you will know who I'm talking. You don't know the person anyway, but so that you never find out. Now, this man, very, very powerful man in the field in which he's working. He's very powerful, very, very successful, you know. And they said, why is he not married? I told my wife then, and I told everybody that cared to me, I said, I know him. He will not find a wife. They said, why? I said, he has the wrong ideas about marriage. And that because of his position, having such a powerful influence in the lives of people, that God is guarding him very jealously, that until he reorients his mentality, he will never find one. I have not been proved wrong yet. And look, what I'm saying is based on truth. Do you follow my point? If you don't have the right attitude, what you will do is that you will try to climb through a window when God closes the door. And once you climb through the window, what is happening is that Bible says that you have to enter by the narrow gate. It is how you get into something that decides what you will get out of it. Do you follow my point? That is why, look, one of the things I advocate, you will learn that, we'll discuss some of this as we are going on. Don't ever lie to anybody, and as God lives, don't ever try to impress anybody. Do you follow my point? There was a young woman I was interested in once. That was before I found the real wife. You get my point? Do you know how when I changed my mind and said that, no, God is not here, I caught myself twice telling lies, trying to impress the young woman. I said, God forbid bad thing. Banky will not come down to lying to impress anybody. What I call lie, if I tell you, you'll be surprised though. No, let me tell you one of them. We had a program, and the program was going to cost a certain amount of money. So you just mentioned jokingly, is that why don't you pay for, you know, so we're like a group of people, you know, so we're raising the money. They're like, okay, everybody put money together. We're a group of friends, all right? So everybody put it. So I was just explaining to her that, oh, this is something we're supposed to do. And I said, how much everything? I said, I mentioned the amount. He said, that's not much. You can afford that. You should be able to, you know, bankroll everything. And this is the lie I told. I said, oh, of course I can. The truth was that I was earning exactly that amount of money. Yeah, it was 15,000. At that time, that was my monthly salary, yes. Now, If my life depended on spending 15,000, you know I would. You get my point? But the truth was that the way I answered casually, like, oh, of course, I said, Banky, that is a lie. And you know it's a lie. After that, I told two lies like that, you know. Some of you are looking guilty because you've told worse lies today and you did not even think it was a lie. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I said, Banky, you are lying. I told myself the truth. See, if you judge yourself, God will not judge you. He said, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest, for it is polluted. Never read that one before? There are many ways by which God speaks. All this one of shmo shmo, I've checked my spirit. Most of it, you are deceiving yourself. I keep on telling people. That's why every day you wake up, hear somebody say, God was telling me this morning. T.D. Jakes said that no truly powerful person talks all the time. Do you get my point? All this one, I woke up this morning, God was telling me. Once I start hearing that one, I just collect it. We'll push on for here. God was telling you, and I get away. The one he told you last year, I'm not affected. What is he telling you again? So God was telling me that that shirt, the color is not appropriate. You should know you're a confused human being. Think concern God, concern the color of your shirt. You get what I'm saying? There are many ways by which God speaks openly. One of them is that when you are beginning to put forth your hand into iniquity to sustain a relationship, it is not of God. When you start putting your mouth into lying because you want to impress somebody, you have missed God by a very, very, very wide angle. Are you getting the point I'm making? All these things I'm saying is to bring out a foundation in our hearts that if you believe the right things, you have no problem. Things come to you automatically. I'm using that one to explain that when you now start doing things like that, God is closing a door, you are trying to break in through a window. And if you enter by that, you know, it makes me laugh. If a young man lies to a young woman to marry her, there was one goat in Enugu here that time. That was about 5 years ago. When I heard, if I tell the story, some of you here will know what I'm talking about. That the young man was getting married and persuaded his classmates who were medical students to say they were doctors and they were being introduced as consultants. I said, that guy must be accursed. And I'm not joking about that. When I heard it, it was ear tingling. Listen, let me tell you a testimony from the woman who did not marry me. He said she does not believe you can find a man more sincere than Banky is. I'm not saying that from my wife. You probably think she just say that so that everything will be hunky-dory. No, I'm telling you the truth. In fact, ask my wife. She's sitting down here. One of the things that I used to annoy her first time we met was I would be describing where I was living in Lagos because she was in Benin. You know, you see, there's a problem with being an anointed man like me, and especially if you are unfortunate enough to be as handsome as I am. Oh, my God. There is a problem. When you stand like this and you start preaching, people just think that it is... they will think that this guy is made. He has money. He has love. You know what I'm going to say? In fact, everything about him is perfect. It is a mistake of the anointing. Do you understand my mistake of the anointing? You are misinterpreting the unction of God for the person. You may as well have said that the donkey of Balaam, no, was it Balaam, that had a nice voice. He said, man, when that donkey began to sing, man, that donkey could sing. Now lie, it was an anointing for that moment. What I'm saying, is it making sense here? Yeah? So that was a problem. So by the time I met my wife, I said, don't make mistake. Oh. You know, you met me as Pastor Banky. Turn this pocket inside out. There's no pastor inside it. There's no pastoral anointing in the pocket. I even went ahead to tell her, you know, it's not as if I would just say that, we'll just be gisting. I'll just find it convenient. I said, last week when they paid, you know, they paid us this amount of money. I wanted her to know how much I was earning. You know, there's a way you can't say anything you want to say now. You wangle it into gist. You know, it's true. He said, can you believe that one girl came to our office? She was selling things. She brought shoes and she said the shoe was 15,000 naira. My whole month's salary. You've just used that to tell her your month's salary. And the wise woman too, she has heard it. Say, now calculate. This guy is not for her. You are getting the point I'm making. I said to my wife, listen, this is the way it is. My responsibility to you is to open myself as much as possible, let you see. It is your decision to make whether you can live with this guy or not. I always tell young women, don't ever believe a man will change. They are not supposed to change. You're supposed to take them the way they are. If they change, icing on the cake. Do you understand my point? If they change, is the icing on the cake. Don't say that, I will change. My wife was telling me the other day that he met a young woman who's separated from my husband. You know, Bob began to ask, he said, look, but you knew he was like this. She wasn't justifying the guy's behavior, just trying to explain. He said, I just believe that once I marry him, I will change him. I said, error number one, fundamental error. You should know, marriage 101, don't ever believe that. It's a lie of Satan. I am not saying I have not gotten better since I married, or that my wife is just the way she was. That would not be in keeping with godliness. It's only God that does not improve. I'm just saying when you are making decisions on marriage, you do not count on improvement. Do you get my point? This is a Christian gathering. I shouldn't say some things, but let me just say it. You see a womanizing man, listen to me, he will not stop. But this, I believe, it's a Christian gathering, so such things are not to be discussed. But unfortunately, there are men. Listen, if you're a woman and you are a Christian woman, you see a man where your eye not, they look straight. You know what I'm talking about? Your eye is not straight. Run. Flee from all forms of ungodliness. It's an ungodly man. Miss. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say here. Please, let's get this thing straight. Why I'm going into all of this digression is I'm trying to bring out a point. Sincerity. All right? The way you get a result is the way you sustain it. I keep on saying that thing. And the Bible says that if you sow to the flesh, if you lie to get a wife, you have made the greatest mistake of your life. You have to continue lying to keep her there. And unfortunately, one day the lie will bring forth corruption. That's what the Bible says. Are you getting my point? Please, I hope we're getting these things. So why did I go into all of these things? I said that this seminar, what I'm trying to do is to get us to understand the mind of God and to drop our own mentalities. Once we get God's mind, life responds to you automatically. That is the meaning of the word grace. Do you follow my point? When you are thinking about this, always imagine somebody like Joseph. That as long as he worked with God, the time to get a good job, you know he got a good job. You know Joseph had a very good job. You know that. And he had a very good wife and persuaded, and he had good children. I am persuaded about all of this. It's, the scripture either says it directly or infers it indirectly. But you and I know, there was never a time that Joseph prayed for a good job. You know that? There was something that, it was Chiki Obi that said, I'll refer to it in a moment. We're talking about this marriage issue. People have spoken extensively. 250 questions to ask before you decide that this woman is the right one. Okay, 186, that's what the book says, all right? Is it 185? 185. We all agree it's over 180. Okay, over 150. Whichever way. All right. Okay. Chiki Obi said something. can I quote you? He said, we have heard all those things, but we have not been helped. We have not moved forward. As a revelation, this man has spoken by the Spirit of God. The reason is that a lot of things that we are looking for, God gives it to us as rewards. You know, but we are learning the steps of how to grab it by force. Let me say this to you. There are so many things that God wants to give you. You are not even aware he wants to give you. How can you therefore pray to get it? In all his visions and revelations, Joseph never thought he was going to be the ruler, de facto ruler, in the most powerful nation on the earth at that time. After all, he dreamt of was his brothers, and then the sun and the moon, representing his parents. He did not know that all the household of Pharaoh would bow to him also. Joseph never had to pray about a house, you know that. He never had to pray about pension plan. He didn't pray, say, look, let me send my children to Somalia to go and be born. You never can be sure, Egypt may not be balanced tomorrow. You know, he never had to worry about those things. He was just in a place where the blessing of God was shining upon him. Is what I'm saying making sense to you? What have I said all of this to say? That please, what I want to do is to show you the mind of God. Help you to throw away the mind of the world. And once you've thrown that one away, results will come into your life automatically. Do you get my point? Listen, no. In fact, let me give you a small testimony of how I met my wife, for those who have not heard it. Went for alumni convention. I'd never seen her before in my life before that day. My pastor was supposed to come and preach. He arrived late. And because they were not sure he was still coming, they said, please come, go ahead and start preaching. So that made me preach that day. Then after that, we had seminars in groups. I taught one of the groups. At the end, people waited to see me. And in the, when they were by, maybe by 5-6 people, and I learned that at the back of the group was one young woman who was waiting patiently to let everybody else finish. And then when she finished, when I finished with everybody, and I said, hello. And I said, please, I want to ask you some questions. I mean, I'm used to it. I'm a preacher. Do you get my point? He asked the first question. I said, this question is a bit long. I'm a bit tired. I've talked twice this morning. Then suddenly I looked at her face. I said, maybe we can talk about this another time. And then she asked the second question. I dismissed that. I still remember very well. I now quickly reminded her that that first one, maybe later we'll talk about it again. All that was in my mind was, God is my witness. All I thought was, fine girl. The Holy Spirit did not wake me up and say, Banky, look to thy right. Coming on the platter of gold. No, nothing like that. I hope you are getting my point. I mean, that was all. And that, of course, you know the interesting part? Let me tell you something else. After that, this is the interesting part. That was just a seed that was sown. Do you get my point? In fact, one of my friends, he lives in the U.S. now. I ran and met him. I said, Chukli, come. Waiting up. I said, come see. I see one babe just now. He said, all right. So we look. We didn't see the girl again. Where did this girl vanish go? That was in the evening. So suddenly I saw her somewhere with her head bent. It was the meeting was about to start, so people were praying. So I just said, check out. So he did like, they gave me a hand. I said, fine. But after, do you know the interesting thing? After that, it was like one of those boys, you know, boys jokes. You know, we're just joking, just playing. We forgot about it, and I left it. Then one day, shortly after, I came back to Benin for something, and I was talking to a young woman, IJ is her name, Ijoma. And so Ijoma was one of those young women who would be hassling me, Pastor Banky, so how far, when are we going to be, when are we coming for your wedding, all those kind of things. They're hassling. So I now said that, nothing now. And I said, are you saying that as this all this our sister is fine, you don't even see any one of them? I said, okay, now that you have not mentioned the matter, I actually did. And I said, you understand what I say? Who? I said, her name is Ufoma. She screamed. And I said, I was just joking. Forget to. I was just joking. That was my problem. I did not, now go she here, she not here come. Next thing she went to look for my, come now, how far? We have G's too. She wanted to get some things clear. She said, any brother in the picture? She said, no, nothing like that. He said, all right, I just wanted to know. All right, and dismissed it. And phoned me back in Lagos. I said, oh boy. No, one night, you know people who are down in school, she was on campus then, so, you know, schools close, you know, they go to sleep very late, you know what I say? So, but unfortunately, people like us were no longer students. We sleep a little earlier. It was about 12 midnight one day when the phone rang. Was it my apartment, my neighbor's zone? And he came to call me. He said, Banky, you have a call. I remember the moment he came to wake me up, Femo, he said, Banky, you have a call. And I answered the call. He said, Pastor Banky. I said, it's me, IJ. Like my mind, this is about 12 midnight. Okay, IJ, hold on, what's up? He said, her birthday is next week. I said, whose birthday? He said, who for my now? I said, all right. Thank you very much. I was like, AJ called me at 12 midnight to tell me somebody's birthday who I don't know at all is next week. You know, God speaks in many ways. I decided to respond that this must be the voice of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Let me end the gist there first. Well, we'll cut a long story short. Now we are where we are today. Now, to tell you that this thing is a true story. If it was possible for me to get a copy of my wedding program, it was written at the back. IJ planted. No, I mentioned her name. Because in reality, she was the one that planted. incidentally, see, look at the way things work. I said, when she was getting married to somebody, because she didn't get married around that time. And she now got married not too long ago. When she was getting married, the wedding took place in Enugu. And the car that drove her as a bridal car was my wife's car. I said, this is a reward for seed well sown. You get to my point. From my house in Enugu here, because her own parents don't live in Enugu, but the young man, his own folks are around here. So she took off from my house. You know, herself, all her friends. My brother drove her around the whole day on her wedding day. My wife's car was a bridal car for that day. I said, it's good to sow good seeds. You don't know how it will come back to you. Are you getting the point? I'm making a point here. There was no hassle in it. All the ones you have been struggling over, no be God. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that when the crop permits, he brings in the sickle. He puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Do you get the point I'm making? He puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Look, all this marriage thing, the reason why it's been tough for some people is that they don't have the right ideas. There's nothing wrong with you. You are fine. There is nothing wrong with you. Don't think that it's because I don't have money yet. It is not true. My wife married me when I hardly had anything. And I know people whose wives married them when they were 10 times worse off than I was. And look, when I say that, I mean that literally. I'm not joking or exaggerating about that. Do you get my point? I've heard people who can't, you know, the Bible says that the things that are seen are not made out of things that are visible. It was the reason why nobody has given me a job is because my father is not connected. Listen, most people who have jobs, their fathers are not connected to nothing. And even those who thought their fathers were connected, some of them, their fathers didn't lend them one inch of helping finger. You know, the father didn't even lift it. I have friends who fathers would tell them that. If one guy said that, he came to meet his father, I said, if you can just call, his father said, call. He said, my friend, nobody called anybody for me in my life. I don't intend to call anybody for you. If you can't walk, get out. The boy looking, Papa. This man, he can't be serious. The man was dead serious. Some of these fathers, if I mention their names, there was one man, if I mention his name, you'll be surprised because all of you know him. He's a very prominent Nigerian. His son was squatting. Now, listen to this. His son was squatting with friends. And a friend, he was a graduate. A friend bought a TV and video. He said, the man, look at the TV. He said, ah, now, wow. Now, this is a son of somebody, if I mention all of you here, we know his name. He said, the boy, look at the TV of his friend. He said, now, how much you buy this thing? The guy talking, the guy is scratching his head. He said, now, wow, how will a man go see money buy this kind of thing? If I mention his name, you will be shocked. You will fall from your seat. The young man is successful today. Are you getting my point? If you say, these people, they are lucky now, it's because their father helped them. A man whose father didn't give enough money to buy television. As far as the father was concerned, I have given you all a man needs to give a young man. I'm explaining something here. That there is no reason. Look, all the reason you've been telling yourself is because, you know, it's very common with women. Why are you not married? Because I'm too tall. The girl next door just says, it's because I'm too short. One says, because I'm too fat. And that one just thinks that I'm just too thin. I need to gain some weight. Meanwhile, if I tell you things, you will laugh. I knew one guy who was my neighbor when we were in Luz. He couldn't take his eyes off fat women. That if a woman is passing like this, and his woman is very fat, this is how he'll be looking. Like, I'm not joking about that, though. Meanwhile, I had another friend who the thing he liked about the woman he was engaged to that time was that she was exceedingly thin. Englishman says it like this, one man's meat, another man's poison. Interestingly enough, you are very nutritious to the man or the woman that God has appointed for you. Are you getting my point? I'm explaining all of this that we might get our heart attitudes right. God said, my ways are not your ways. When I want the air to produce, I send the word into it. God wants your life to produce. That's why he's sending a word in this season. Do you get the point I'm making? And your life will definitely produce if you believe the words I am going to be teaching beginning from now. If you believe that, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, that's by way of introduction, actually, and I believe I've said some very, very vital and important things. Now let's open up. Okay, yeah, we had read earlier Malachi chapter what? Chapter 2. And I said that today I'm going to be speaking about what is called the wife of your youth. Now, let's quickly read from Ecclesiastes chapter, that will be around 11. Verse 9, it says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." It said, "So remove grief and anger from your heart and put away pain from your body, because childhood and the prime of life are fleeting." He said, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, 'I have no delight in them.'" Now, I have read this to highlight a point that we have made many times in previous times when I've been teaching, that there is a season in life that is called the youth season. Are you getting my point? That's what the Bible is talking about here. It says, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood." It said, the days of young manhood, they are characterized by the impulses of the heart and the desires of the eyes. It now said that God will bring you to judgment for whatever you do with the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes in that season. Now, the first thing I want to do, because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of what? Strongholds. Now, let me say something quickly about strongholds. Then we'll pull one down with that wife of thy youth. Strongholds are, they are fortresses. That's the meaning of the word strongholds. Something that is difficult to break through. Do you get my point? The Englishman will say somebody is obtuse. Have you heard that expression before? That the man cannot just be corrected. His mind is fixed. You say a man is incorrigible. Those are all the words we use to describe a man operating with a stronghold. Now, stronghold, there's a slight difference, however. It's different from what you will call stubbornness. Are you getting my point? Stubbornness and stronghold, they are not the same thing. A stubborn man is a man who you may have shown your point to him and he has agreed, but he deliberately refuses to change his mind. That's a stubborn man. But a man that has a stronghold is the one that even though he wanted to change his mind, he couldn't. You are following the point I'm making? He wants to change his mind, but he just can't. You try and explain to him, and the only way you can get through to that man is to pull down his stronghold. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, usually in different areas, people have strongholds. And those strongholds, the problem with them is that they prevent you from doing the will of God. That's why Paul said, we have to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. That is, when a man is operating under a stronghold, a woman has a stronghold in her heart, she can't obey God. It's not as if she does not want to. The ability to respond to the purpose of God is not present inside her. That is why you have to go for the strongholds. And the teachings I'm doing in this series, I'm going to go at least today, I'll start like that. I'll take a stronghold and come against it with the word of God.